The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 90 of Star Wars and Scotch. I'm Kevin. I'm joined by Tim.
Hey, 90.
But today, we have two special guests, not one. Two. We have Leanne and Lauren from the podcast Most Things Kenobi. What timing, too, to have you both on right after Kenobi concluded. Wow.
No, it's great. Thank you so much for having us on.
Hello there.
I totally ruined that.
I bet you've never heard that before, too.
Never heard that. Mm-mm.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us for episode 90. A couple things we need to get out of the way. First and foremost, we're 56 days from Andor. So we will talk about that. But that's, yeah, I know, right, Tim? Right? Just bang, 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 one after another.
Let's
keep it rolling. So we're 56 days from Andor. But more importantly, have you gotten your King's Coast coffee today? Because it's very important that you get your King's Coast coffee.
I was actually drinking some nitro cold brew today.
Were you?
This is the can that. Why do you? That was very accusatory. Like, were you?
No, I was saying, were you? Like, were you?
Here in my hand. Yes.
I was gonna say I've been preferring it over ice.
Yeah.
With like a little bit of.
You could put a little bit of syrup in there. Like,
yeah.
I use like sugar-free syrup. You put a little in there. Very good.
Yeah. No. So make sure you go over to kingscoastcoffee.com. I don't know if there's summer swells left, but if there is, you should probably grab it because you probably won't see cold brew for a little while. But if not, there's plenty of flavors you can grab. On kingscoastcoffee.com. Well, I asked this question of everyone, and since we have two guests, I'm going to ask you separately, but I want to hear both of your answers. So let's start with you, Leanne.
Okay.
How did you discover this wonderful thing we call Star Wars, and what led you to the point where you wanted to create content around it?
It's a great question. It started very, very long ago when I was a kid.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Absolutely. in a very small town. My parents, I actually come from a Star Trek family, so I don't actually know how I came in possession of the VHSs, but I did, of the original trilogy. And it was one watch, and I was sold, and Princess Leia was my personal hero.
Yes.
And I was pretty much in it from then on. I can't get enough of it.
We have a portrait. It's like a stylized portrait. It's not a picture of her. It's painted, but it's her in our office when you go down the stairs, and it says The Queen, 1976.
I'll send you a picture. For my house.
That's really good.
I'll send you. We got it on Etsy, so yeah, you can probably get it for your house. But yeah, so yeah. But Lauren, what was your journey to Most Things Kenobi from Star Wars fandom?
Well, I was introduced to Star Wars when I was pretty young. My dad took me to see the movies when they got re-released in the 90s. So that was kind of when I first got introduced to it. And basically was in love with Luke Skywalker my whole life from that point forward. But then a couple of years ago, I started watching The Clone Wars and I got addicted to it and never looked back. started a blog. I started Most Things Kenobi, and then Leanne agreed to come on and start the podcast with me about a year ago. So it's been a really fun, intense journey.
Which leads me to my next question on my list, which is, how did you two meet?
We actually met through Most Things Kenobi.
It's a fun story. Total haphazard. It's why we call ourselves space twins. Leia's like my favorite. Luke is her favorite. We met across the miles. I was researching stuff about Kenobi on Instagram, looking for a specific piece of art or picture or something. And I came across this account that seemed to be run by a well-spoken individual. And so I messaged, right? Didn't I leave you a message? And I just thought, like, this person's intelligent, you know? Doesn't seem like, you know, some kind of weirdo. So I messaged, yeah. And then we started just talking, and then we realized how much we have in common with each other. And then once we realized that we're not creeps, we decided, like, we should meet in person. And so we met at San Diego Comic-Con several years ago, and that was, like, the most appropriate meeting ever, because that was the Clone Wars 10-year anniversary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Panel? When they released or announced that they were going to finish the show, we were in the second row.
Yeah.
Yeah. Freaking out, crying. Yeah. Also, we made it into the little Star Wars show snippet. You know, the Star Wars show that they do online with Andy and I forget the other guy's name, but yeah, we're in there for just a minute. Like,
yeah, I actually have a faux hawk. I have since grown my hair out, but I used to have this like rock and roll faux hawk thing on. And
I love it. I love it. It's always interesting to meet people who met, you know, because of the fandom or because they enjoyed the same thing. You know, Tim and I have known each other now for like 4 years. But we met through content creation and streaming and all that stuff. I think one day we were talking about something came up about Star Wars, and you were like talking about the books.
It was like the Spider-Man meme where it was like, "You like Star Wars?" And like, "You like Star Wars?"
Because
he's talking about the books and the audiobooks, and he's like, "You got to start reading them." And I'm like talking about the comics to him, and I'm like, "You got to start reading them." And EU Legends, which is my, you know, go way back there, and then. We decided to start originally called Spoiler Cast because we weren't going to stick to Star Wars.
Terrible idea.
It was a terrible idea. So we did season one of Mandalorian and we had a blast. And then we tried to do season one of Witcher and we quickly realized we do not know nearly as much about Witcher as we do about Star Wars.
Oh, it's like,
it's cool.
He has white hair.
Yeah, I can talk about Witcher for hours if you need me to.
I can from the standpoint of I've beat the game twice, Witcher 3, and then, you know, obviously I've watched, but I've never read the books or anything like that. So it's really hard to, like, reference outside material, and it was difficult. But then we said, hey, let's start this podcast and just do Star Wars. And we were like, is there going to be enough to talk about or... Lo and behold, like a week into the podcast, Disney was like, hey, we're coming out with these 8 shows in the next 2 years. So we're good.
Busy for a while.
Yeah. And it's amazing because every time we think we're going to have a lull, something gets announced, something happens. I'm sure you both know that, too, because you're like planning out your show that week and you're just like, what are we going to talk? Yeah. OK, thanks. Our problem is that we usually record on Wednesday mornings and at 10 a.m., when we're done Disney decides they want to drop an announcement. So our episode releases at 5 p.m. on Wednesday. So everyone's like, why didn't you talk about the thing that they announced? Well,
because you're not clairvoyant witches.
Damn you,
we try.
I have something to do with it.
We try. So I have to ask, and I guess this is more for you, Lauren, since it was originally your show. Why the name, like, what is the fixation with Obi-Wan? Please take us down that path. I'm super interested.
Well, it's really to blame. Blame Clone Wars for all of it, really, because I liked the prequels a lot, but I really didn't like Obi-Wan's character that much until landing at Point Rain in the Clone Wars. And that episode was visually very different to me. It was cinematic in a way that the other shows weren't, but then they were developing Obi-Wan's character in a way that they hadn't before. They were very, very cheeky in the first season, and he was kind of funny, but he was also kind of tutting and like a disapproving mother hen until that episode. And they started to develop that he has a backstory and that he is willing to die for his clones and his partners, and I just found that really engaging. And then it just went even more insane on the show from there. So I think that he quickly became a favorite character of mine because he's far more complicated than they make him appear in the prequels. There's a lot more going on with his character. You can take him at face value, but if you start to like dive into the character and really explore different elements of him, you see that he's not what he appears on the surface. And that's really interesting to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, the conversation we were having before we started, people don't that didn't watch Clone Wars and stuff don't really get the full picture. And that's just how Star Wars does storytelling. You know, you kind of have to go searching for the depth if you're really interested in it, which is in the books, it's in the comics, it's in the animated stuff, and all the other places. So I can appreciate everything you're saying, because I do think even Anakin and Obi-Wan both have a way different dynamic if you watch Clone Wars than if you don't. And segueing into where I wanted to go here, which is the show, I think we saw a lot of that in the show. And I think for us, all of us, it really meant a lot to see it played out in live action, because we have known that this was the relationship for so long.
Yeah.
And it can't kind of came full circle. So when they announced, this is for both of you, when they announced that Kenobi was going to be a show, was it just like, oh my God, yes, this is perfect for us. How did that make you both feel? Like, were you like, this is our moment to shine type of situation?
It was in phases, I would say. It was first excitement, and then like, oh God, I hope they don't screw it up, or oh God, I hope it's not like so over the top. We were hoping for something dramatic, you know, there's nothing wrong with lightsaber battles and pew pew and action and all the things that we love about Star Wars, but we wanted the depth that we crave with this particular character and his best friend. And so I don't want to speak for both of us, but I know that we were both extremely excited to see Ewan back, to see Hayden back, to see new characters introduced, like where they were going to go with that, how it was going to build on the story. And we just know that Ewan can do it. And I think now that the show is completed, he did it. Oh, yeah. He did the thing.
Killed it.
Yeah. And I think that kind of, he was like unfettered in a way, because in the prequels, George Lucas was directing or at least producing, and he has a certain sensibility of the way he likes his actors to perform. And you see it in his other productions as well. It's not just a Star Wars thing. It's a George Lucas kind of sensibility. And Ewan was an executive producer on this. And if you've seen his work in recent years, as he's become a director and an executive producer, you see he's bringing a lot more like emotional depth. And this is the perfect character and the perfect time to explore that depth for this character. So it was just like, I was very excited to see what they were going to do, but I was really nervous because he's such a favorite character. And Luke was my favorite character. And that was hard to watch some of the stuff that happened in the sequels. So I was very nervous that was going to be repeated again in the show. But I was very, very happy with most of the decisions that were made.
Now, I listened to the episode of your show, which I think was the Kenobi finale. So I know the answer to this question. I'm asking it for Tim in the audience. How did you both feel they executed on your hopes and aspirations for the show?
Well, there's a lot of sobbing.
Oh, dude.
Yes.
Same.
I don't know that I could have guessed it would go that direction in that finale, but I am so damn glad it did. It was the moments between Vader, Anakin, and Obi-Wan were chills. And I'm just so pleased to get that. It was the closure that I think we all as fans kind of needed, because we knew what happened. We can interpolate through to A New Hope, you know, but to see it in such fine form. I will say that there were some misses with the show. I mean, not everything's flawless, but that finale was chef's kiss.
Yes.
Yeah, I really like seeing Obi-Wan get his moment, which we discussed in our episode, because we see little snippets of him being like a total fucking badass, especially in Clone Wars. He has these like really cool moments like between him and Maul and Savage Opress.
Yeah.
We got to see that in live action now when him lifting the rocks up and just being so powerful fighting Vader and using Anakin's moves, like his lightsaber moves against him, which was so cool.
Switching hands.
Yeah, and I never thought we'd see Obi-Wan slice Vader's helmet open. That I never expected. Mm-mm. And that was fucking awesome.
We called that one. Yeah, because
Kevin has a massive hard-on for the Ahsoka Vader fight,
yes,
where Ahsoka cracks the helmet and the eye changes. He loves talking about that. That's his favorite part. So he definitely was like, "This is gonna happen again. It's gonna happen. The fight's gonna happen, and he's gonna slash, and you're gonna see his face, and his eyes are gonna change." You were almost spot on, Kevin. But I saw an awesome TikTok breakdown of the lights changing for the lightsabers.
Yes.
When it was Anakin and when it was Vader. And it was so awesome when it was slowed down and just like you saw the pacing of it. Oh, again, chef kiss. It was so good.
The lighting on the planet didn't lend itself to the eye like you could in an animated feature because the coloring is completely different.
Oh, most definitely.
They told the story with the light. Yeah, that's how they told the story.
Yeah, it was really pretty. It was really well done. And I'm like, I didn't catch it the first time because I was so caught up and just like, holy shit, this is happening. It's so crazy. But like getting to actually like go back and watch that again, you really appreciate just the cinematography that was used for that scene.
It was more, even less than the lighting was the voice because it was like half James Earl Jones and half Hayden Christensen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was going in and out. And it was almost like this internal struggle that he was having.
Yeah, like a possession almost, like he was fighting a demon.
Yeah, so that was actually what got me really hard was him talking because it was just going in and out constantly. But Tim found this thing, and it was pretty poignant, was, in that fight, he loses the left side of his mask. In the Ahsoka fight, he loses the right side of his mask. And then Luke is actually the only one that can take the mask off of him and actually change him.
So, yeah, that's really pretty because it's two people that loved him very much that couldn't turn him. But the only person that could really take the Vader helmet off and bring Anakin back was Luke. And I was like, oh, so well done. And that's just a little detail that you'll miss if you really just don't pay attention.
Well, and
it's beautiful.
It really is. It is beautiful.
If Luke had the experiences that Ahsoka and Obi-Wan had had and seen what Anakin had done firsthand, he might not have been able to be that person.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But Leanne and I have talked about a little bit that he has distance from the horrors, you know, that Vader has perpetrated on the galaxy in a certain sense. He was kind of like out in the desert, protected, not seeing things firsthand necessarily. And that allowed him the emotional distance as well to actually forgive this person and like care for this person, where the other characters couldn't really see past all the terrible things that they had witnessed themselves.
Well, that's why I hate the crappy argument of like, well, he could have just killed Vader right there. It's like, no, he couldn't. That was the whole thing. Like, that's the whole point, is that he couldn't bring himself to do it. And that's why he needed Luke. He needed Leia. He needed them to complete the mission.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like he couldn't kill his best friend. He couldn't kill his brother.
Yeah, and that's what made the moment, is that he just walked away. He couldn't commit the act that he would need to. And also in that moment, you think he's thinking like, well, if I kill him now, it'll save the galaxy. I also disagree with that statement because Palpatine's still kicking around. Like, you're not exactly saving the galaxy because Palpatine is the true problem with the galaxy. Vader, let's be honest, if you read the comics, Vader's off doing his own thing. He doesn't really give a damn what the Emperor thinks. He lied straight to his face in the episode when he was like, I serve you. No, he hates your guts. So it was pretty, I disagree with that statement because I don't think it would have saved the galaxy. I think he would have just killed Darth Vader and that would have been the end of it.
Would have just been vengeance at that point.
Yeah, Obi-Wan is above.
That's not him.
No. Yep. Somebody was saying, too, that was maybe the moment where he really returned to being a full Jedi, because the Jedi do not kill unarmed people. And I think that's a really good point. He has been slowly growing back to that over all of the episodes of the Kenobi series. And, like, that was the moment where he not only had, like, set down all his burdens that he'd been carrying, all the mistakes that he blamed himself for, but also the moment where he stepped back into the virtue of the Jedi. I thought it was so beautifully done.
Now, I don't know how tuned in with the video games you are, or especially Jedi Fallen Order for this one. But Tim and I, at one point, we swore Cal was going to show up. And then when they had the moment where they were like, no one's stupid enough to break into this facility. And I was pointing at the screen like, wait a minute. I do know someone that's stupid enough to break into that facility.
Pretty sure he did it, right?
He did. I played as him while he did it. But the bigger picture here is leading into like Jedi Fallen Order survivor storytelling, which will give us, because that takes place right around when Kenobi did. And then also, you know, there's Bad Batch crossover, not in timeline. I'm not saying crossovers in the sense of the show's crossover, but do you think we see more of Ewan as Obi-Wan, even in animated or not? Do you think we see more of Hayden as Vader? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, what I want and what will happen are two totally different things.
Always.
I would love to see Ewan again. I think he would do it. I don't know that it will happen. And I'm not sure that a cameo of any kind of Obi-Wan would sit right, unless it, you know, was more storytelling on his end. I do feel that Hayden, maybe as a Force ghost, Anakin could show up in the Ahsoka show. That is kind of me hoping and seeing the realism in it, because it could forward the story. I mean, I don't want gratuitous stuff. I want it to actually propel the story forward, the character growth, etc. And man, that would be a coming together of all of my worlds if that happened in the Ahsoka show. But I mean, anything's possible. I really thought we would see Cassian or Cal in this show, and we didn't. So I don't know if we'll see Obi-Wan again. I don't know what you think, Lauren.
I think we have a better chance of seeing what the hell's his name, the Jedi they talk, Quinlan in Andor, mm-hmm. than we do seeing Ewan or Cal for that matter. Unless, and Tim and I both agree, unless there is some link to the game, Cal will not show up in anything. Mm-hmm. It has to be something that, like, you saw this play out and then it's going to happen. Something's going to happen in the game that links to that. You won't see Cal. Quinlan, on the other hand, I could 100% see him in,
that would make sense.
In Andor.
It's a much easier crossover.
And they said he's off working with the Rebels.
He's doing the
path. Yeah. What do you think, Lauren?
Well, isn't Anakin or Vader confirmed to be in Ahsoka?
Is it confirmed? I don't know if it was confirmed.
I thought Hayden said that he's working in other shows somewhere. So I thought that was confirmed. I don't know about Obi-Wan. Like, that might cheapen what has already been put out, and I would hate for that to happen. But I would really love to see Force Ghost Anakin appear. Like, he could be in the Book of Boba Fett or any of the Mandalorian episodes. How they keep, like, weaving Luke in there, and now Ahsoka's mm-hmm. in there. They could somehow make that happen, which I know would kill Leanne. She might need to be revived afterwards if that happens.
I mean, I Book of Boba Fett was great. Like, it was fun. It was fun for me. That's what it was. It wasn't like this groundbreaking show that changed my life. But obviously, the Mandalorian episodes were pretty important for what's coming in the future. But, you know, the whole time watching Book of Boba Fett, I was just like, this is fun. It's Star Wars. It's cool. You know, we're learning more about Boba Fett. That's fine. But when we saw Ahsoka on what we now know as Osis, and she said, I'm a friend of the family, I almost dropped to
the
floor and started crying. Because and this goes back to what we said before the show, if you watch Clone Wars, you have that relationship. You possess the knowledge of seven seasons of that, how important that line is.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's, that just crushed me so deeply and so hard. I was a mess.
So my theory for Hayden is that they're going to use Vader as just like a fun piece to throw into new shows. So I think like having him show up in Cassian or in the Andor show would make sense. We saw him in Rogue One. So like that for that kind of crossover, that would make sense. I think we'll get a Dr. Aphra show. If we don't get a Dr. Aphra show, I think they'd be really stupid. They would be missing many marks. Like, you have a female protagonist and a very like very fun protagonist. She, like, to have like a female essentially Indiana Jones in a Star Wars universe is just awesome. She's so cool.
Please cast me.
Yeah, right. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, I feel like a Dr. Aphra show just makes sense. I mean, like, she's so neat. Invader's a big part of her story. So for like, that's where I think we'll see. And then also, did you see that the whole Johnny Depp thing is apparently gonna come back for Pirates? The reason why I bring this up is because someone was bringing up Hondo being played by Johnny Depp. I was just thinking of other characters as well, and I didn't want to let
that'd be so good.
Let that go, and it just popped in my head. So I just want to throw that out into the universe as Johnny Depp as Hondo.
They think they run the same.
Right? Like, perfect. It would be so good.
But it would really need to be Jim Cummings' voice, though. Like,
that's my problem. Jim Cummings, I'm partial.
He makes like, it, right? He makes even, the character.
Yeah.
Even animatronic Hondo at Disney is Jim Cummings. So it's
it is, yes.
Yeah.
If Johnny could nail, which, don't get me wrong, guy's a phenomenal actor, so there's a very good chance he
could. Someone put that out on TikTok this morning, and I was like, yes. Yes, I agree with you. But anyway, so that's my theory with Darth Vader is that he wants to be that character. I think that him coming back as that character was his redemption arc for him as an actor. And I think he felt it. He was like, no, this is who I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so he finally gets to truly be the full Anakin Skywalker. He got to be, you know, the young Anakin that everyone kind of makes memes and makes fun of. But now he finally gets to be that character that everyone really knows him as.
And my God, he can still handle a lightsaber. Hayden can handle a lightsaber like no other. It turns me on every single time I see it. Oh, the flippy behind the back business. Oh, it's so good.
I love those TikTok tutorials. I still want to try it with the.
I know.
I'm gonna hit myself if I try it. But.
See, you're talking like me when Ahsoka showed up in Mandalorian and she's in the woods and you can't see her and then you can see her and then she's
I was like,
I'm sweating. This is
so good.
I won't say she's my absolute favorite, but she became like top three for me because I read her book. I watched Clone Wars. And then when I heard she was going to be in live action, I was like, oh my God, to the point where I built my lightsaber at Disney. And I did Mace Purple to start because I wanted to be a badass motherfucker like Mace Purple.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
And
he still thinks he's alive.
I walked out. Well, most of the internet does, Tim. I can't wait to prove you wrong on that one. And then the Force can break a fall. And then I literally walked out. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Turned around, went around the corner to Doc Ondar's, walked in there. I was like, do you have the white lightsaber crystal available by any chance? They were like, yes, here you go. I was like, thank you. Pop that sucker in. Got videos of me and my daughter. She's got her Rey yellow. I got my white Ahsoka, and we're like,
whoo. I love it. That's adorable.
Ahsoka is her story is just too damn good.
It's really good.
Were you at Celebration by chance?
No, it's a sore subject for us.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but there is an incredible. The Tales of the Jedi is coming out soon, and they showed us the first episode at Celebration, and it's about Ahsoka's birth.
I saw the picture.
Yeah, I saw
her as a baby.
Stopped. I was sitting in the audience next to my friend, and I was like, she's like, are you all right? I'm like, I'm not all right. I'm not. It was so beautiful the way they, oh my God, there's a moment where Dave Filoni was talking about how there's an interaction with an animal and Ahsoka touches its nose. And he said that, because she's an infant, she's a baby. So he's like, is she using the Force? Or is it just because she's not afraid because her mother told her there's no need to be afraid, but isn't that really the same thing? And I was just like, I died. I just like the way Filoni thinks about Star Wars and especially Ahsoka, because she's his baby, basically. Like, it's so incredibly deep and moving. And I just love that her story keeps evolving. There's so many layers to it now. It's really amazing.
And they need to dive more into the Togruta as a whole because they're just.
So
badasses.
Cool.
When we learned about them in the High Republic, like their hierarchy, where they're like, oh yeah, they call her the Huntress. I was like, oh damn, I like them. They're this is cool. So, you know, I want to learn more about them. So without giving anything away, will we learn a little bit more about Togruta in that episode?
He talked about that specifically because people were saying, because they show like a mountain village, you know, where she grew up, and he was like, I'm not saying that's the planet they're from. I'm not committing to what planet that is. And he's like, and I'm not committing to this is how all Togruta are. This is how her tribe was that she came from. So he's being very cagey about it. So you'll learn about them more, but just like realizing that they don't necessarily have a universal culture, which I thought was kind of interesting.
That's why cool. Why does Dave speak in riddles like Gandalf and Obi-Wan?
Because he is amazing. He is all wise, all knowing, and Dave wizard. Filoni arrives precisely when he is meant to. So.
Right. That's how I feel. Like he when he posted the thing when everyone's like, oh, Ahsoka's dead, and then he posted the drawing he did with Ahsoka and Gandalf, and he's like, everyone thought I was dead too. I was like, you're combining my two favorite things now, Dave. Like, same. Come on. Yeah. Why? So
Filoni gets it.
He does. He does.
He really does. Filoni, he understands.
And that's why we all love, we're like, keep him in charge. Let him and John do everything. Like, we're cool.
I really do. Yeah. It's like my favorite.
Yeah, we have our friend Sawyer, who's been on the show a few times. She's on TikTok with where her content is. But she called it, when we were talking to her, she called it the Filoniverse. And Tim and I started laughing.
I was like, I like that. Yeah.
I was like, yes.
That's where I want to live.
Yeah, Filoniverse. Seriously.
So,
we live inside the greatest mythologies of all time, all under one umbrella.
Right?
He's actually a hometown hero of mine, because we're from nearly the same area in Pennsylvania.
Interesting.
So, and we're both huge Pittsburgh Penguins fans. You ever see Filoni all the time? He's got, I know some people aren't going to like that, but me and Filoni, we got things to talk about besides Star Wars.
You guys
so,
always have that Penguins match.
He does. And so do I.
I can't even talk shit because of all your Stanley Cups. So we'll just,
I know it's a thing.
I'm an Islanders fan. Tim's a Lightning fan. So,
the Lightning had their moment.
Yeah, that was all right.
Yeah, no, I just suffer in pain in the corner.
Sorry, I feel for you.
Everyone's like, they won four cups. I was like, yeah, I was like one. So it didn't really do much for me back then.
Still another time, Kevin.
Yeah, it was great. Most of my teams won in the 80s when I was barely old enough to know that they were winning. So Andor, like I said at the top of the show, we're 56 days away. Tim and I believe that the way Andor is going to be the Mission Impossible of the Star Wars universe. Just like Dr. Aphra has the potential to be the Indiana Jones of the Star Wars universe. Yeah. I would love to hear what both of you are expecting out of this show and what are you predicting out of this show? Because we've made ours and I'd love to hear yours.
Well, I got to see Diego Luna at Celebration talk about it a little bit. And he says that Cassian is not who we see in Rogue One.
Yeah.
He says he's very selfish and self-centered and things happen to him that changes who he is, which I'm really excited to see, because Diego Luna is such a fucking good actor that it'll be really fun to see him grow and change and develop. And he said that one of the great things is he knows he's not going to get fired from the show or killed.
This is true.
So he'll survive for now. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see. I'm assuming that we're going to get some context for the comment he made to Jin about, you know, this rebellion is real for a lot of us for a long time. And I'm really excited to see what that means, because I'm sure they'll put context to it.
Tim and I have always been hung up on the line where he says, I've had to do terrible things.
Oh, we're
going to
see some really dark stuff, man. He's going to kill some people.
Yeah.
And he's going to feel bad about it. And he's going to have nightmares about it.
I mean, see it in Rogue One, where he kills that guy, the informant. You know he knows he has to do it, but then he doesn't want to do it. And then he starts to, like, not want to kill Jin's father. It's like, because he's been asked to do this too many times, and it hasn't changed the outcome necessarily. So, I'm excited to see the very first time, you know, that he's asked to do something like that. It could be really interesting.
Yeah,
I think they use Kenobi to lay the groundwork there with the path and showing you how dire the situation was with what was his name? Roken.
With an
thank
R.
you. Which I would assume we'll see him in Andor.
He's completely like right where we leave off. It's going to go right into Andor. There's no
doubt.
Yeah,
so I'm assuming as the rebellion picks up, he's going to play a major role in it. But my feeling is that, they laid the groundwork there. We kind of know stuff about the rebellion, obviously from Rebels, and obviously from the movies. But aside from like Solo, where we see the birth of the rebellion at the end, we've never really dug into the nitty gritty of it. So that's what I feel like this show is going to showcase. The trailer at least spoke volumes to me of that, when they're like shutting the doors and like they're all acting normal. Like, that's why I feel like it's going to be this spy heavy resistance. And I think in the new media, we've really felt the pressure that the rebellion felt, especially towards the beginning of all of this, and that it was very dangerous to make the decision to go against the Empire. People will die and horrible things will happen to get us to A New Hope, you know, where it's kind of like, it's less. That's the best way I can put it. I feel like we're going to have to go through this emotional, traumatic, like the rebellion was horrible and awful. We use the example that, you know, Star Wars is based a lot on World War II. Obviously, yep. The Empire is a metaphor for the Nazis and whatnot. And, you know, we talked about, I think it was last episode, two episodes, Tim, where we talked about the French rebelling. Yes. And how it wasn't like this hunky-dory, like, let's fight the Nazis, it'll be yeah. fun. It's like hiding and, you know, using guerrilla warfare and doing terror. I just watched Turn, because it's July 4th recently, too. And yeah. same thing, when they showed the Revolutionary War, we always imagine a bunch of guys in coats in a field shooting at each other. No, the Americans hid in the woods. We're throwing, you know, tomahawks at the British and doing yeah, all the dirty warfare. Yeah, so I feel like that's what Andor is going to be. It's that dirty, you know, get my hands dirty in the name of the rebellion type of thing, based on what he says in Rogue One, where he says we've done terrible things in the name of the rebellion. So I'm interested to see. But
I think we'll get Both and spies. I think we'll finally
see because that's Death Star 2.
Yeah, but do you still think we'll get some Bothans in this show?
I'd have to ask Mon Mothma.
All right.
Ooh, she looks amazing in that show, by the way.
She looks awesome.
Oh, yes. Oh,
that actress has been that character for so long, and she looks exactly the same.
She has an
age,
exactly. Right?
It's crazy.
It's weird. Now that's some magic. There's your witch that you were like, yeah, she's
that's
got
it.
Magic going
it's
on.
An Irish witch.
Do you think we see familiar characters? Is it going to be mostly introducing us to all these new people? Because I don't think we saw anyone familiar besides her in the trailer, and obviously Diego Luna.
I don't know. It's possible that we could see. Leanne and I have talked about hoping kind of to see Bail Organa. That'd
yeah.
be cool.
That would make sense. He was in that. I mean, I would think any of the senators that you saw in the room of Coruscant in that deleted scene for episode 3 were like, they're literally like meeting as like the rebels yeah. for the first time. Like yeah. anyone in that room would make sense. I mean, except for Padme.
Or so, when they were meeting with Galen in Rogue One.
Yeah, that too.
That's true.
Also, could we take a moment to appreciate Dad Bail Organa as like the cutest, sweetest man
I
on the planet?
Him so much.
So the great.
One of the best parts of the show, honestly, yeah. like his relationship with Leia, I just
so good.
It's so
also,
great.
Little Leia is adorable. I love her. I didn't know
me
that
too.
In my life. She's amazing.
I have a 3.5-year-old, so she hit me right in the feels because it was like looking at my kid, who's also rambunctious and crazy. Tim knows her, so he can back me up here.
They did such a wonderful job.
Dude, I'm so sorry.
She's going to be such a bad influence on your son. I can't
dude,
wait.
When she's a teenager. It's gonna be...
I got the other one who's a teenager. She's a pain in the ass. I can't imagine what this one's going to be like. At least she likes Star Wars. The thing that got me was when he would talk to her about something important, he always knelt down.
Yes.
To make eye contact with her.
Just yeah. the person.
The little things that got me. So he was just like, I would love to see him in Andor. I don't know if they could pull this off, but wouldn't it make sense that I don't even know if he's Admiral or ISB, but Wolfie Lauren would be in the show at some point?
That would be
so
cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So he's still an Admiral in the Imperial Navy.
Is he? He's not ISB at this point?
No, he's. No, Admiral Yularen, he's they show him in the they say it's him in the meeting room on Death
in
Star.
In A New Hope. Yeah.
In A New Hope, he's there. He's the only white tunicked admiral that's at the at the table.
So when does he join ISB then? After that?
Well, isn't he in Rebels? Is that where he comes in as he's in?
Yeah, he's got his
white
hair and he's ISB in Rebels. So that's why I don't know when it happens.
That's before A New Hope.
It is before A New Hope. It's a couple. It's what, like, a year or two, or somewhere in the something timeline.
Yeah.
Well, this is where I ask the question: do we get Kanan and or Hera at all? Will they be special appearances? Because I would die.
I could see Hera. Not. I don't think Kanan.
Not yet, Kanan.
That crossover. It could be a pre-Rebels crossover.
Yeah, because Ghost is in Rogue One.
Hera would make so much sense.
Yeah, so
General Syndulla, right?
Exactly.
That so, Rogue One. So they're definitely in the base together at that point.
Fingers crossed. That's what I'm hoping
that's
for.
That's a great idea. Oh, I never. Oh,
because they'd have to have Freddie play Kanan. Like, they wouldn't go back on that, especially now that Katie played Bo-Katan. Mm-hmm. They know that the voice actors can cross over and play their mm-hmm. live-action counterparts, so it would have to be. And Freddy, obviously, we know if they gave the part to someone else, Freddy would flip the fuck out. So,
this is true. Yeah. He could do it if they put the little hair on and, you know, gave him like a little ponytail. He could do it. He could look like.
Is the character even still alive, though? I thought isn't he? Wouldn't he be dead by now? Not in the Andor show, but he'd be dead by Rogue One, right?
No, I'm only talking about. I'm only talking about Andor.
Andor,
like appearances in Andor.
He should be alive during Andor, if the timeline is correct in my head. He should still be alive.
I think so.
That would be really cool. Leanne, you're hired.
Well, I'm trying. Doing my best.
I'm trying to figure out when he joins the ISB. I'm literally on Wikipedia, right? Okay, here we go. Eventually, with his new order, Yularen resigned his Admiral's commission in favor of pursuing a career with the ISB, with the rank of colonel. His first assignment was heading 14 BBY. God, okay, that doesn't help because I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. And they just changed them all.
Well, okay, well, so 14 BBY?
Yeah.
That's 14 years before the Battle of Yavin.
Okay. Doesn't help me.
All right, so I mean, I'm just telling you, BBY is before Battle of Yavin, and ABY is after the Battle of Yavin.
I'm on the 14 BBY entry for Wikipedia and looking at all the historical events happened.
No.
So, okay. Actually, I found one. The Ryloth Insurgency is in 14 BBY, which we see played out in Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which means, but what? He's an admiral. That doesn't.
I don't know, Kevin. You've gone so far down this rabbit hole.
This is a really nerdy rabbit hole I'm down right now.
It really is. You've gone far.
Yeah, I'm gonna click out and just accept defeat and know that one of our viewers will be like, "Hey, Kevin, actually, this is the timeline of events of how to play it out."
Tweet at Kevin, not at me. Tweet at him.
That means you have to tag Tim too, and most things Kenobi, please.
So. Hey, well, we'd love to join in. I need an answer now that we've gone this far.
You won't get it till probably 5:30 tomorrow because we post the episode at 5, which means by the half an hour, we'll be like, hey, I heard your thing. This is how it played out.
We have feelings and opinions.
I had said once online, someone asked me, and they were like, is he still an admiral or ISB? Actually, on this very subject.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm not actually sure when. And someone chimed in. They're like, well, if you read book blah, 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 it states that he joined ISB at this. And I was like, okay, sorry. What that guy said below me.
That's why I do that a lot. I crowdsource when there's something I'm not sure. I'm just like, hey, fandom, anyone have an answer for this lovely person who has a very complicated question?
There's so much material. There's just so much damn material. It's impossible for any one person to digest all of it as much as I would love to. Yeah. We got to crowdsource.
We'll be dead before we can read all the books.
It's true. Tim, do you think our viewers know that that's why we stopped doing the live episode, was because they kept correcting us?
No, that's not why. It's because it was so inconvenient, Kevin, for us to stream.
Because they were correcting us.
Yeah, it's because they were correcting us. I'm tired of reading you guys. No, I'm kidding. You guys are great.
So the way they're making Andor is the directors are actually working in three episode blocks.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Instead of like Mandalorian where they did it, you know, Rick would do one episode and then Deborah would do another episode. You have three episodes and then they move on to the next director and there's four of those. Do you think that will help with the continuity of how the story is being told? Or do we think this director group, which is probably the same one they use for everything at this point, is so tight knit at this point that they can tell unilateral stories across each other's episodes with no issues?
I think they think they can do that.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah,
but personally, I find that there's a lot of continuity errors with their storytelling. I find that their style is really inconsistent. And mm-hmm. Leanne and I felt, especially with, was it the last Mandalorian,
it was like the last two
season?
Or three. Oh,
Or was it Book of Boba Fett? Either where we were like, they can't decide. Are they a kid's show? Are they funny? Are they being serious?
It was kind of both, but
yeah, it was all over.
There was all continuity. I felt like the first two or three episodes of Kenobi was going real strong and in a spiritual way. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of got completely out of that for the last couple of episodes. And so I feel, and Lauren, you said there was a different director.
Three sets of writers.
Writers.
Yeah,
writers.
All the same director.
So yeah, like, Deborah was the director.
Yeah, yeah, visually it had a similarity, but.
Yeah, so I felt like I could sense that. We definitely talked about it, how we felt a difference there. So I hope it doesn't feel that way with Andor, but I mean, there's great potential there.
It's the same director and I think writer as Rogue One, at least is an executive producer. I don't know if you wrote all the episodes. I know he's the director for the most part and like showrunner. So I'm hoping it has a consistent tone. I think that if you stick with a similar production team, at least for certain blocks, those blocks should at least feel consistent, which I'm okay with because, like, for example, A New Hope had a different production team than Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. They all have different feels. They all have different cinematographies. And, you know, Lawrence Kasdan didn't write all of them. So you can see that the movies can have different tones and slightly different texture, and that's fine. But with like The Mandalorian, to me as a film student, it was very obvious that they did not have the same production team for every episode. Mm-hmm. Their producers, their writers, and even their cinematography was just all over the place. And that was frustrating to me because I thought it kind of detracted from the story occasionally, not all the time, but sometimes. So what I saw of the Andor preview, it looks really good. So I mean, if there's good writing, that can really save a lot when there's like inconsistencies in production. So It really kind of depends on what the finished product will feel like. But I think it's fascinating that they're doing it in blocks. And didn't you say that each block represents like 1 year of Andor's life or something like that?
We use each block to represent a year. We'll move a year closer with each block. From a narrative point of view, it's really exciting to be able to work on something where you do a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then jump a year. That's from hypebeast.com, by the way.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
And there is a season two. They already announced that. So we know
the season.
And I think that's something that's really cool is they know what they're working towards.
Yeah. It helps.
It really does help. So I assume, like we all assume, that Filoni has an idea of what he's working towards with Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett. I do feel like there's an endpoint they're working towards. And just like season one of Clone Wars, kind of like taking its time and being slow and laying groundwork, I feel like that's what they've been doing with Mandalorian and everything. So it'll be really interesting to see when all of these lines of stories converge at some point. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there will be a moment where our brains explode.
We've had a few of those already.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Right.
Another bit of news. This comes from express.co.uk. Star Wars remaking original trilogy's key scenes for Disney Plus. I'm making a face if you're listening on the audio version.
See that face? Sorry. Oh, yikes. Okay.
Oh, I know that face.
Yeah, it's not a good one.
Bob Dickel, Chapek, is said to be pursuing a big change from the original trilogy movies. What? Refilm some key scenes from the original trilogy for a brand new Star Wars project. It is going to take place during the original trilogy movies and just after. They have to do with the Battle of Yavin. Yep, Tim is... Tim is laying on the floor, if you're in the audio version.
He's
moaning and rolling back. He's coming back.
Like, thank why? You. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
talk about
don't
trying to
touch
milk the... Oh.
Those.
Don't touch them.
Just
hands off.
Yes.
It's yeah. not okay.
See, but that's the problem with this CEO compared to the previous one. The previous one let the stories do what they needed to do and helped build his empire over time based on the stories. This guy sees dollar signs and he just lunges Disney at the dollar signs and goes for it. This, yes, it'll make waves. Yes, people will buy Disney Plus just to see it. Yes, you will make money, but you will piss off people like the four of us doing stuff like this, because we already had the trilogy scenes reshot, redone. Lucas had his fun. I think we all agree that we all prefer, I prefer the original. I'm not going to speak.
Well, I mean, like, okay, so like it helps with continuity. I mean, like, he had to fix the whole Jabba the Hutt thing. I get it. Like, there's definitely like, there's changes that were made that I get it. I understand. But what's the point? Like, what is literally left to get out of the original trilogy story that we haven't already gotten? Like, that's all
money
taken care of. There's nothing left. Like, I just, like, I'm all about filling the gaps to get us to where we need to be. Like, Obi-Wan makes perfect sense. It gets us from 3 to 4. It really helps bridge the gap. There's stories that get us from Rebels to episode 4. Like, there's all these things that get us from point A to point B. But like, the trilogy, the original Skywalker saga, like, that's all done. Like, why do we have to fill more stuff in it?
We don't.
Yeah, we don't.
Like, yeah, insert the done. Vader meme of no.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah,
like, why?
I mean, like, even like a Dr. Aphra is so still far away from EVA. It happens during the exact same timeline of Empire, but like, it's still so far off. Like, it doesn't even intersect with the movies. Like, I'm okay with ancillary content that like is around the same time, but doesn't touch the original movies.
Your core base at this point wants you to tell us stories that don't have to do with Skywalkers.
Yeah.
Like, your core base at this point is crying for you to tell other stories. And they introduced the High Republic. And again, I don't know what you two think, but Tim and I love it. We think it's a great stepping stone to new content. There's no predetermined, I would have done it this way, or this character should be handled this way, because they're all new except for Yoda. And then on the same time, you have the Old Republic just sitting there collecting dust. Obviously, we know we're getting a remake of the original game. But though, like, that's my Star Wars. Like, that's when I got interested, was when I played KOTOR 1.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm dating myself.
He's old.
I am. And that was my Star Wars, was that. Because I remember playing that game. And to this day, I think it still has the best story in any video game that has ever been made. I will fight someone on that. The controls are absolute shit. But the game itself, you know, the story and the journey is just, I haven't played something that made me feel that way ever. So you have all of these other interesting time periods and eras. Like, why do we have to beat this with a stick? Like, it's cool that we're bringing live action and doing all that stuff, but I just don't understand why we keep going back to, oh, let's remake the original trilogy again. It's like, just leave it. Leave it. And if they're going to do that, Tim, are they going to do what we said, which was like the original version of the movie, the Lucas recut, and then are they going to do a Chapek recut or something? Because I don't want that to be the only movie on Disney Plus of that version of the movie. I want the original on Disney Plus. They still haven't done that, but they should have multiple versions.
I don't know, Kevin. This makes me very grumpy. The whole idea of them just like touching it, I understand why Lucas touched it. There was things that needed to be fixed. But if they're gonna if they're really going to like reshoot stuff, or they're gonna create like content that's supposed to fit within the movie that you have to watch, you're gonna really piss off the fandom. That's not a good move.
Well, and like, are they planning to reshoot this stuff to insert it into the cuts?
That's the whole thing. Yeah.
No. Which is weird, because they've made it pretty clear that they, like, the way they've handled original trilogy characters and the way they've set up, you know, the sequel trilogies was to kill off all of those characters and just put a stop to it. And I think that since then they've moved into the Dave Filoni area, so it's a little bit like nicer towards the original trilogy characters, but they at first made it clear that they wanted the original trilogy to just kind of like stop being important, which is so stupid because the fan base is born out of that. Like, our parents and our cousins, like my cousins were the ones who were like alive and the right age for Star Wars when it came out in the 70s. Yeah. So like, without them, you don't have any of the stuff that exists now. So I just wish they would stop fucking with it.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. With that, all of that, put some respect on it.
Yeah, just make some things untouchable. I don't see why asking that is a big, like, are you going to go back in 25 years and redo parts of Endgame? No, the movie's fucking great. Don't touch it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
leave
don't
it.
Touch that one either.
Yeah, there's just certain things that should not be altered or changed, and the original trilogy should be in that. You want to go screw with the prequels? Have fun. I don't really care. I hate
Have
the first
fun.
Two movies
yep.
anyway. except for the last 10 minutes of Phantom Menace.
Pretty much.
Go for it. You want to retcon the sequels, which make Tim and I laugh every time someone says that? Sure, if that really will make you happy, go for it. But we know they're not going to do it. It's dumped billions of dollars into that at this point. But, like, just don't touch 4, 5, and 6. There's no reason to. Yeah. It's wonderful the way it is. It's why we're all sitting here. So,
precisely.
Yeah. Chapek needs to chill. I hate his guts, in case you couldn't tell.
Really despise that individual.
As Floridians, we hate him even more because he ruined our Disney experience. Oh, like, Tim and I had passes. We could pop over whenever we felt like it. Can't do that anymore because Greedy McGreedy Scrooge McDuck just freaking ruined that whole experience for us because they weren't making enough money off of locals.
Come on, Kevin. The lightning lanes are fine. What you talking about?
Yeah, for only an extra another $100, you can have a full day of lightning lanes and enjoy it. Just double the price of it. Anyway.
You're so grumpy.
Speaking of Disney, Leanne.
Yeah.
Give us your honest to God review of the Galactic Star Cruiser. I will tell you this. Tim and I are humongous skeptics of it. Humongous.
There's a reason to be. I will say this. The experience is who you bring with you in your group, because okay. We had a blast. We had a good group, all huge Star Wars fan. We had one who is like there, knows Star Wars, is just there for the party kind of thing. He sure. even appreciated it. But there were plenty of misses. It's a bit much. It's a lot of pomp. I don't think for your money you get the experience. For me, I don't feel like I got my money's worth, but it was something that I'll never experience again. And so I soaked up as much of it as I could. It was the people I was with that made it. There's a whole running storyline, right? You're part of this ongoing background story, and you get out of it what you put into it. If you want to be super interactive and like talk to random people, the cast members, the characters, the entire time you're on the ship, so be it. But like my storyline, my part in the story ended pretty early because I just stopped talking to people because I was like tired and annoyed and I just wanted to like be free on this ship, right? So, but other people had in my group had a tremendously fun time because they were in it the entire time. And so I think it's a personality thing. What they're charging for it is exorbitant for what you get. I really do think, but one time experience, I liked it. I would probably not do it again unless we had the same group and they changed the storyline over. But there were moments that were really cool. There were just things that we couldn't figure out as a group why they didn't do when they had so much opportunity to do. There weren't more characters or species of aliens walking around. Like it was kind of the same 6 people in the storyline that you could interact with and no more. Oh. It's like, you could have a Togruta walking by. You could have any kind of character just walking by that doesn't necessarily have to be part of the storyline, but could add to the experience of it. Mm. We couldn't figure that out. Why are the beds so damn uncomfortable for the money we're paying? Those beds are atrocious. I slept on the couch. We had the suite. And so like the pullout beds, they come out of the wall and then you have like the master bed itself. So you think you have a group of 4. So we had 7, 3 in one room, 4 in the master suite. So we had a living room and like there wasn't enough room for us all to sleep in there. And it was like, granted, you're not in your room that much. Whoa, but my biggest complaint was like, they were uncomfortable. That's my biggest complaint.
Oh man, but like that's the whole thing, is it's a hotel. Like at the end of the day, it's a hotel.
It's still bottom line a hotel. And I know I'm like nitpicking right now. It was a very cool experience. I got to live my Jedi fantasy, because like you cosplay kind of when you go in there, and I did my thing. I think I represented fairly well. But at the end of the day, they felt like they were just kind of kicking you out. And that is something my entire group felt. Like, when it was over, and they had no qualms of being like, okay, time to go, you gotta go, we got the next group coming in, see you later, bye. It was really bad, because, you know, all of your screens in the bedroom are like you're flying through space. Very cool. Yeah. They had the map up of, like, where your ship is in relation to, like, Hoth or Bespin, or, like, on your way to, you know, around these different planets and stuff. Really cool. The morning that you left, all the screens were totally blank. There was no, like we're docking now.
No!
Right?
To just kill your entire immersion experience when you just learned it's time to leave? Not and like, hey, we're docking into port. It's time to, like, go about. Ew.
So that was, like, the biggest foul that all of us in our group said that they committed. It was a real harsh, like, your experience is over, time to go.
Rides do a better job of, like, saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Which, like, we got VIP entrance to all the rides. Like, we were on the rides first before anybody. We had these little pins, and you could get free drinks and free food and stuff in Batuu.
That's cool.
It was nice. You know, there were perks. The fanfare of it all was well done. I mean, the ship was gorgeous. It was very Star Warsy. They didn't skimp on any detail. Oh boy, though, just
that
the harsh
thing,
exit.
Yeah, that would piss me off so much
that sounds so deflating.
Disney prides themselves on immersion, and that would kill the whole thing for me, to be honest.
Well, so my two friends, Derek and Corey, and I did an entire episode. So if people want the full, like, non-biased, like, pros and cons, I would suggest going to one. I don't forget what episode it is, but we cover it. But
it was just before, I think, the Kenobi series stuff.
So, like, episode 51, 52. Anyway, if you want the full explanation, I'm just giving you the hot takes right now. But
51.
Like, it was 51. Thank you.
Nice job, Kevin.
They, like, the First Order, because this is all, like, sequel era, right?
Yes.
And without giving away any spoilers for anyone who's listening who might want to go, it's all sequel era characters and feeling and names and stuff. So the First Order was actually the most entertaining part of the entire experience. And, you know, the one thing I really love, speaking of Knights of the Old Republic, I believe they have a lot of now I'm not going to be able to think of it. The planet with the ring around it, where they build the ships. I literally wrote about it.
The Starforge?
No. Where they built the...
I know what you're talking about.
Coder Water Tower, too.
The drive yards.
The Kuwadi drive yards. They actually...
Okay, yes.
They actually put that in as part of the experience. And I was like, okay, I'm into this because this is a lesser known planet, you know, and... I like when they do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was like, oh, yes, they got the Kuat in here and, like, oh, it's beautiful and all this stuff. But, you know, your Jedi training, your onboard training and that, you know, the stuff that they make you do, like, as activities, it's all fun. It's just part of it. You know, it's.
Yeah.
But, man, the exit was so harsh that we thought maybe it was an error with our screens. Like.
Oh, my God.
It's so not Disney.
I'm going to have to ask you this question too. So since we're talking about Batuu and you've mentioned that it's in this period between episodes 7 and 8 or 8 and 9, does it tick you off that they've started introducing non-period accurate characters? Like Boba Fett just shows up. Like, why?
I can see the reason why, so you can get a picture.
Yeah, but they said they weren't going to do that.
But if they want to stay on theme... Stay in the right period. Yes, I am with you on that. Don't introduce
even your cruise, even like the whole cruise is set about a certain time. It's Kylo and Rey. They have like a love story thing, right? Isn't that a part of the narrative?
There is no love story. It's a very big hate story.
It's a hate story. Okay.
Yes. There's a lot of conflict.
Okay. So, but like that's at a specific period of time. And so like I for me, honestly, when I saw the picture of like you can now take pictures of Boba Fett, I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why can I do that?
So, yeah, it doesn't
keep
fit.
It up.
But that's the whole thing, is like they shouldn't have locked it into a time period. That was their biggest mistake.
I agree with that.
Mistake. Batuu, then that's the cool thing about Batuu, about Black Spire Outpost, is like that's timeless. Like that point, that period, like that location has been used in multiple eras in Star Wars now, that because they wrote it into the story. So it could just be this thing that's there. It doesn't need to be locked into a specific time for it to be Star Wars. So
yeah, I think they pigeonholed themselves. I also think they did that based on the idea that everyone would like the sequel trilogy, and it didn't do as well as they thought. Because I think they thought they could do that as a time period and then throw everyone, well, this is for Florida, not necessarily for LA, but they could put everyone in Launch Bay that was not of that time period, Tim. I don't know if you've both have been to Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
They have a separate area that is not in Batuu called the Star Wars Launch Bay that's been there before Batuu, and that's where you can meet Chewie. That's where you meet, you know, whomever. Wow. You can meet BB-8 there and stuff. I don't know if they have that in LA. I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
But, yeah, I think they thought, like, all right, we'll put them in the Launch Bay, and then, you know, this will remain time. Because when I went the first time and the second time, the staff, the cast members were RPing with me and my son to the point where they corrected me on, you know, I got green milk, and for some reason my brain farted when my wife asked me what that was from, and I said, oh, this is what Luke drinks in the cantina on Tatooine, and the guy behind the counter was like, actually, that's what Luke drank on Octo when he was in exile, and I was like, you're right, I'm wrong.
No, but okay, I'm so mad about that, because anytime I've gone, no one has RP'd with me, ever.
I'll go with you, and I'll make sure they do. And then my son was wearing an R2-D2 shirt, and they were like, oh my gosh, is that the legendary droid R2-D2? We've heard of his adventures with C-3PO and the legendary Jedi Luke Skywalker, even out here in the Outer Rim. Just little stuff like that they did that I was like, okay, this is cool. I remember my wife came back from getting us food, and she was like, they asked me for credits. What the fuck is a credit? And I'm like, that's the money in Star Wars, so just go with just... give me your card and walk away. She's like, that's what I did, but I had no idea what he was talking about.
Star Wars. Because I never got that experience. I felt very much like cattle last time I went. Did not enjoy my experience last time.
We'll go when it's dead, because that's when I usually go. And then they'll probably have more time for you.
That's what it is.
You know, I will say on the Star Cruiser, they spoke in Star Wars speak. And there was their own language, and you never felt like you were off planet. They asked you where you're from. You said a planet. They said a planet back. It was all very, you know, everything was credits, everything. They all had their own sayings, like all the wait staff, they all had their own sayings, and they stayed in the storyline even as it was happening. So it really felt like you were somewhere else, which I liked. I mean, it felt different there. The one thing about Batuu that always bothered me is the fact that it's Kylo Ren, but we know what becomes of him as Ben Solo, who I love so much more than the Kylo Ren side of him. And so I hate that he's stuck RPing on Batuu as his evil, when we know he redeems himself and becomes like this amazing, you know, what he should have been.
They don't have an antagonist now. Like that's what happened, is because they had this entire story, and now they don't have a bad guy to show off at a theme park. And you can't bring Darth Vader into Batuu. That's not going to make sense. It would have made sense if they wouldn't have locked it into a time period, but now the only place you ever see Darth Vader is out by the Star Tours building.
They could parade the Emperor around in like some sort of weird vessel machine and scare the shit out of all the kids.
That would be awesome. Could you imagine Disney does Halloween Horror Nights? Okay, they do a haunted house in Batuu, and that's it. He's like the house boss at the end. It's the Emperor.
That would be actually amazing.
That was sick. That'd be
and
so
terrifying
awesome.
for the children. Down. I remember when we went, because you know how the stormtroopers screw with you. My son was young at the time, and they started messing with him, and he got really upset. So he was like holding on to me, and then he walked over, and my mother-in-law like saw Rey, and she was like, "Oh, go meet her." She has no idea who Rey is. So go meet her. And he knew who Rey was. So he ran to Rey, and there was like a kid in front of him that he like booked it and round the kid. And I was like, oh my God, no. But she leaned down just like Bale when we were talking before. And she's like, are you okay? And he's like, the stormtroopers were so mean to me and they scared me. And she goes, stay here. I'll make sure they don't hurt you. And then welcome next kid. He's standing next to fucking Rey. I'm just like,
that's so cool.
This is great. This is great. More of this. This is fun. Yeah. Like,
that's amazing.
But yeah. Yeah, like that. That's how it was when we went. I don't know what Fugazi experience you had, Tim.
Yeah, what the heck, dude?
I got to role play with Rey on the Star Cruiser.
That's exciting.
I interacted
with that
lightsaber
part.
Look really cool when she comes out with the lightsaber.
That Yes, and that was cool.
It
everyone
looks miserable.
It looked cool. Okay. So the first, I believe, so my best friend Derek, who lives near Orlando, so he's like annual pass holder, local. Yeah. He experiences all the same disgruntledness that you did about the lightning passes and all this stuff. So he's the one that said that in the initial phases of the Star Cruiser, they had a much worse version. And then the version that we got of the actual blade that she ignites was much better. Good. So I went in spoiler free. I didn't know all this stuff, but he was like, oh, it was so much better than what I saw before. So what I saw was cool,
first
but I didn't have anything
over.
Yeah. Yeah. There was no floppage.
Good. Good. No floppy lightsabers there. Good.
Yeah. No, their fight was fantastic. And in fact, kudos to those two actors, because the Rey actress couldn't tell, you know, it was that good, but they had her on like a track and she lost her lightsaber at one point as part of like, you know, the whole thing. And Kylo's reaching out to her with the Force, and she must've been on like a treadmill that you couldn't see, because she was, you know, held back, frozen.
Oh,
and
yeah,
she
yeah.
just like
that's so
came
cool.
towards. And I was like, okay, I'm into this. I love this. I don't care. I'm living Star Wars right now. Like, it was enough for me, you know? So there were some great moments.
Yeah.
Totally nerded out about it, but yeah, they were good. Those two were good.
Tim, I still say we wait for the 50% off.
We're
going
to have to wait.
I would wait for the
50% most
off.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think that's what we're going to hold out for. Now, yeah. I have to ask you, Lauren, has Leanne's experience convinced you to go, not go, or wait?
I don't know. Cause like, she was kind of showing me what was happening while she was living through it. So
I saw the tweets. Yes. That's
yeah,
how I knew.
So I wouldn't have really too many surprises in it right now. So maybe later we would go, we could definitely write it off as a business expense. If she
yes, you can
again,
100%. I'll ask this one last question, Leanne.
Yeah.
Can they change the experience? So if you went back in 3 or 4 years, you wouldn't get what you had when you went this year.
Yes. And I say that confidently. The experience, they could change the experience, or given the variability of the 7 people I had in my group and how different our experiences were and our different storylines and how they progressed, I could have a totally different storyline experience if I went next week. So I think they have enough flexibility where they could reinvent this thing and get more people to come back. But even so, if they don't in the interim, I could go back, get a different bed, and have a totally different experience for the storyline. So yeah, I say yes to that, all of that.
Just bring your own pillow, because Disney's notorious for having shitty pillows.
Oh, man, yeah, those beds were.
Just get lost in them.
I like my
your
pillow.
Head.
I like a hard, firm pillow, Tim. That's why.
Because you are old.
I am. We've been over this like straight. At least 5 times. I even have a pillow that I can switch to, Tim, that has the groove of my neck in it.
Oh, very nice.
So I can just. Well, Leanne and Lauren, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. This has been a wonderful conversation, getting to know you both and your journey through Star Wars and your show, Most Things Kenobi, which I've listened to scattered episodes. Again, my favorite one was when you both talked about like the finale of Kenobi. Because one thing I appreciate about your show is you're brutally honest. You do not bullshit. You don't sit there and like try and sugarcoat anything to make it for Star Wars fans. You're like, this is what happened. This is how it was. And this is how it made me feel. So if you want like a similar thing to what Tim and I do, where we're just honest about how we feel and we're not trying to like get that Lucasfilm sponsorship, Most Things Kenobi is definitely a show you should listen to. But I'd love for you both to shout out anything you want to, anything you're working on, whatever it may be, or just a show in and of itself, and let the fans and folks know where they can find you.
Well, first of all, thank you to both of you, because you're awesome. The whole team is awesome. Oh. Thank you for having us on.
Thank you.
You are like-minded souls. And Lauren and I like honest, real Star Wars fans, and you guys are it. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, we were actually, I think we listened to your episode of the episode before the Kenobi finale, and I messaged Leanne. I'm like, they're literally saying exactly the same stuff that you and I said about Reva fighting Vader. She's like, we're kindred spirits, clearly.
Look at us.
But yeah, over at Most Things Kenobi, we're basically just trying to grow a community, and even our Patreon is really a community-based experience. So our people who are our patrons, we have monthly hangouts online. We do polls where they get to pick our episodes and stuff like that. So it's really, we hear this all the time, that people who feel like they don't have a place to talk about Star Wars feel like they can come and talk about it with us. Like, we try very hard to interact one-on-one with our listeners as much as possible. So if you need a place like that, everyone is welcome. We don't really tolerate any kind of bullying whatsoever. So it's really just a place to come and be yourself. So it's been the most fun thing I think I've ever done.
And your Twitter handle where we found you is
yes,
MTK_podcast. So if you want to check them out there, you can. Are there anywhere else on the internet that people should go to find you both?
Yeah, you most can find us
at Kenobi.com.
Yeah, mostthingskenobi.com has links to absolutely everything. We have a very active presence on Twitter and Instagram. We're at mostthingskenobi with underscores between the words. And we also have a Tumblr as well. So, and a YouTube and everything. But you can find all those links on our website.
There you go, mostthingskenobi.com. Again, thank you to you both for joining us. Hopefully we see you on an episode in the future.
Yes, for sure.
But Tim and I are out for this one. fb.gg/darknessfortune9 is where you can find Tim Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. ish Eastern, unless he's recording a podcast with me and then he's late.
Yeah,
then we're really late. And then everything I do, you can just go to raredrop.co. That's where all the important stuff is. If you want to correct me about Admiral Yularen, you can do so at Kevin X Vision on Twitter or KMagic101 on Instagram. It'd probably be easier on Twitter. But thank you so much for hanging out with us. I think it's my turn this week, right, Tim?
Yeah, you know what? Fine. You can have it. May the force be with you.
Oh, you dick.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.